Hello, welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, where we might potentially review and spoil movies. We might potentially review, or possibly review. This is episode 304. I'm Kevin.
I'm Natalie Emanuel, and watch my new show.
I'm Daniel, and I will perhaps not be reviewing anything.
Possibly reviewing.
Possibly.
I'm Doug, and I'm a gray man.
So, last episode I was regaling you guys with Tales from the Dollar Store. Well, I didn't want to leave out the rest of my trip because some viewers might be interested. I don't know why. I'll tell you what. It felt like that. So, my kids discovered this thing on TikTok called Crumble Cookies. I'd never heard of it. I had no idea. My wife was determined to get to Crumble Cookies. I'm like, whatever. So we go to this place called Crumble Cookies. So I honestly will tell you, I did not go in because I went to the GameStop next door just because that's who I am and tried not to buy a $50 Morwalk Pokemon plushie, which was calling my name, but I did not buy it because I couldn't figure out. I go, how do I explain to my wife that I just spent $50 on a plushie, which I didn't buy? So I thought that was a good buy on my choice. So we bought these crumble cookies, and the family brings them out, and I'm like, oh, how are they? They said, oh, they're okay. And they said, I had a bite of dry ice cream cookie. Oh, my God, this thing is the best cookie I've ever had in my life. Lucky for me, I was driving, or I would have eaten all six cookies myself. They were that friggin' amazing. So continuing on. Earlier in the day, I think before with the crumble cookies, I went to American Store because they always impressed me. I mean, so far I'd been in a Walmart and a Target and a Tops that looked like I was going to get shot in. So I kind of didn't stay in Tops too long. So I went to Wegmans. I saw this place. I'm like, what the hell? That can't be a supermarket. No, it is. It is as big as any Walmart I've ever been in Canada in my life. Just a food. I'm like, this is friggin' insane. You want a foodie to explode? Send him to a Wegmans. I lost my crap. So I literally just went in to look for one thing, which I did find. And I did pick up two things. I was looking for Dr. Pepper Zero Calories, but I did find, which I've never seen before in my life. So I bought six of those. And I found my wife Diet Wild Cherry Pepsi, which I didn't even know existed. My wife goes, so I thought you'd be longer. I said, I literally could not spend more time in that store. I would have spent $400 on buying food I don't need just because I can't buy it in Canada. It blew me away. And I never realized how big the Buffalo Bills were until I went to Buffalo 2 weeks before football season. Oh, my God. They have Buffalo, like a whole thing of beer. Budweiser beer and a football stadium in the middle of the beer. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And everywhere I go, they have like Josh Flakes, I guess Brand Flakes. I can buy football jerseys at the supermarket. And then I went to Target, and I could buy a baseball, Toronto Blue Jays, and or Buffalo Bison, and I'll, like, more Buffalo Bills crap than I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I don't think Canadians, like, we love football, get to that level of football love that the Americans do for their teams. Because I've never just seen, walked into a random store and seen that much football stuff just there to buy, other than being at the stadium. So I do have a last thing I want to talk about, and then there'll be more we're talking about Buffalo other than what I bought at the Dollar Tree, because I promised to save some of it. I went to the Olive Garden, which is my wife's favorite restaurant. She always goes, oh, my husband. It is not my favorite restaurant. I don't care if I go to the Olive Garden. My wife loves it. So we sit down at the Olive Garden to have lunch. And my daughter was going to order just the soup she wanted. The woman said, don't worry about that. We'll put it on his order so you don't have to pay for it. I said, oh, that's really nice. Waitress was good. My other daughter ordered a steak at the Olive Garden. Not joking, a steak. Fine. My wife ordered fettuccine Alfredo. Food comes. My food is fine. I order the Taste of Italy. I'm just hoping it's cooked, which it was. I took bites. My daughter looks at her steak, goes, not cooked, sent her steak back. My wife's portion of the fettuccine, the woman goes, they gave me the wrong size and sent that back. So the food came back. Everything was fine. Everything's lovely. We're getting ready to go. And the woman says, oh, where are you guys from? We say, well, we're from Canada. And the woman says, oh, great. Comes over 2 minutes later and brings us a bag of dessert for the whole table. Fantastic. So we're still just finishing up. We're not quite done. She comes back 2 minutes later and brings us two portions of fettuccine Alfredo to go. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Not done yet. Then she brings back two giant things of breadsticks. Says, you guys have a great day. Have a good trip back.
So, and she charged you an extra $40. Thank you.
Nothing.
Capitalism.
My bill was $60 for all the food. Three meals for $60. Wow. Compared to Cheesecake Factory, which was $160. So I have no complaints for the Olive Garden. Anybody wants to diss the Olive Garden, I have to say no. Great customer service. I gave her a $20 tip and said thank you.
Nice.
Because that was good service to me. That was making above and beyond fixing my problems and making me feel good about leaving. So, unlike Doug, I am not a gray man. I'm getting there, but my hair color on head is still somewhat the real color. And my beard, yeah, my beard's going gray, but not quite as gray as Doug's. But mine's not as big. It's probably the issue. So hit it, Daniel.
Yay. The Gray Man, directed by Joe and Anthony Russo, starring Ryan Gosling, Anna de Armas, Chris Evans, Billy Bob Thornton, Jessica Henwick, Alfre Woodard, and Julia Butters.
I could go first if you want, but I hated this movie.
Whoever has the most gray goes first.
I did not care for this movie at all. First of all, the concept of a gray man, they're supposed to be able to slip in and out of society. They're not supposed to be noticed. Then why are two of the most handsome men in the world cast as the hero and villain of this movie?
It's true.
Ana de Armas is one of the most gorgeous women. She is not a gray woman. You would notice her. I absolutely hated the editing of the fight scene on the airplane. It was so disjointed. It broke the 180 rule so many times. I had no idea what character was where. I will say the editing got better as the movie went along, but the height of poor editing was that airplane fight. I don't know. It just did nothing for me. It felt very generic. Not even the charms of Ryan Gosling or Chris Evans could save it for me. It just wasn't – I just didn't really have fun with it. I think it was – I think it was poorly executed, to be perfectly honest.
I just did stuff on my computer as I watched this. Simon, are you muted or were you just mouthing that?
I'm mouthing. Go.
Okay. I liked it to a certain extent, but I didn't think it was great. And that was the most surprising thing to me was the fact that this is basically just another one of those, assassin movies where they have to save like a little girl, which seems like they've made like three or four of those in the past 2 years. That one with Karen Gillan, like the Gunpowder Milkshake one, and then a couple others. So it's kind of weird how that happened.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, like it's just kind of a waste of a good cast.
Oh, my God. Smack both you in the face. This was fun. I had so much fun watching this. I enjoyed everything. That first big action scene on the bus, or is it train? I think it's the bus or the train. It was awesome. I had so much fun. I'm like, I spent a lot of money on this, and this is what I wanted all summer long. Big, dumb fun. What I've been missing in all my, as everything Bullet Train did not offer me was right here. I had comedy I laughed at. I had Ryan Gosling, who I love. I had Chris Evans as a great bad guy. You gave me Ana de Armas. I'm already halfway in, right there alone. The little girl, you guys are all complaining about her, but they used her well. I like how they leave her notes, turn up the records, and that kind of thing.
I quite like that. I like her.
Yes, you did complain. So it's like Gunpowder Milkshake, and it's not.
I just pointed out the fact that it's the similar formula. I never, you always put, like with Most Dangerous Game on the last episode, you always say that I don't like it.
Did anybody understand what Daniel was saying? He's saying, I always say he doesn't like something, whatever. Too bad. Maybe get your internet fixed. You can comment. I'm not worried about that. I think this film is great. I'd rather have seen this on the big screen than Netflix. It really upset me. I think this film is great. It's everything I wanted in a summer movie was right here. And who's that guy from Bridgerton? I like, it's the assassin. I loved him. He should have been on the Bullet Train. It would have sparked it up much better.
I thought the guy from Bridgerton was the bad guy, like the main bad guy.
Oh, do I have the wrong guy?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I've never seen Bridgerton. I thought he was the assassin guy who I quite liked.
No, he was the guy from Bridgerton was the bad guy who basically took Billy Bob Thornton's job.
Oh, right.
Okay, whatever. I don't care. I love this film. So much fun. Exactly what summer movies need to be. Netflix spent a ton of money on this, and I think it's all on the screen. I do agree with Doug. Some issues with the editing here and there. I think it looks a little stitched together at times, but I'm okay with it because I didn't care. I was having fun for a change. After watching so much crap lately, it made me happy. Kevin, I know you watched this, so please tell me.
I did see it, and I'm 100% with you. I love.
Look at that, people! I have somebody on my side.
I thought this. I wanted this on the big screen. I thought we were cheated. This was big screen movie fun. Exactly what I would want to see. The cast was fantastic. The chemistry was great. I mean, it was like a repurposed Captain America script.
Yeah,
Black Widow. Ana de Armas is the Black Widow, basically. Ryan Gosling is Captain America, or like a Captain America like character.
I was getting more Fast and Furious vibes.
Fair, I take that too. But know what? These are better. This is better than any Fast and Furious I've seen since Fast Five.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about family.
At least this is better than Six Underground.
Oh God, Six Underground was just painful. Me and Kevin are still trying to figure out where all that water came from. I think maybe it was raining that night.
They have a secret storage. Anyway, I love this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it. It was great action movie, great set pieces, quirky characters. Like when he captures the guy in the dungeon, the guy captures him, puts him in a dungeon.
Oh. I love the maze. I thought the maze kind of worked for me too. I like the maze fight for something different.
Yep. So overall, really good. And I can't wait to see a sequel.
There's going to be a sequel?
I think they're planning a sequel.
Well, it's like Extraction 2. I'm never going to see it. They talk about it, but nothing ever shows up.
Maybe.
They filmed Extraction 2. It's in the editing. Oh, is it? Now. Yeah.
Oh, great. I didn't hate Extraction. I like these kinds. Is Russo's write this or no?
I think so.
Feels like a Russo movie. Kevin's checking for me. Let me Google that for you.
He directed it.
Oh, okay. It was a Russo's. Okay, there we go. See, it felt like a Russo film.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's been watched by the Watchers. Next.
Watcher. Directed by Chloe Okuno, starring Micah Monroe, Carl Glusman, and Bern Gorman. This is exactly my kind of movie, but I'm sorry I didn't actually get to this.
I could see how it would be your kind of movie. I will just say that this movie was boring as fuck. It was all set up with very little payoff for me. It was just the same thing over and over again. This guy is watching me. This guy is following me. This guy is watching me. This guy is following me. And you think maybe they would do something different. Oh, maybe he wasn't watching her. Maybe he wasn't following her. Nope. It's exactly what he was watching her. He was following her. It's exactly what it tells you it is. There's no kind of twist to it at all. The acting from top to bottom, even from actors I like, was pretty boring. This is a not recommend at all from me.
Dull. Corey Haim's in it, and I feel bad. I don't know how Corey Haim became a star. The more I watch his films, I'm like, why are you a star again? I guess I don't get it. This film did nothing for me. Everything Doug says, I think we're in agreement of. It's dull. Forgettable. It's one of those films, after you watch it, you forgot, like I do, because I don't remember watching it. It's got like Monster. I really don't remember anything about this. I must have watched it too late at night, but I have no recollection of this at all. I remember watching bits of it. I'm sure if you put it on, it would all come back to me and I immediately forget it again. I think it's just boring, dull Corey Haim film and sums up pretty much his whole career.
I think you might have watched a different movie. Corey Haim wasn't in this movie.
Which movie did I watch then?
I have no idea.
What? What year is this, Watcher film?
Corey Haim's been dead for 20 years.
But it's 2022.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me see. Hold on. Maybe I did watch the wrong film. Hold on.
Put the director in everything.
Oh, sorry. This is the total wrong story. I'm thinking of the Corey Haim. Never mind. Watchers, this is that store, terrible Mia Kuma, Mia, whatever her name is, from Charlie's Angels.
Micah Monroe.
It Follows. Totally. Forget that Watchers Corey Haim movie.
What movie did you watch?
Now I remember I watched the wrong movie first. Now I remember I don't remember this. I switched films. I started this Corey Haim film that's called The Watchers. I realized it was the wrong movie. Then I switched. Okay. Now I know what we're discussing. See, good thing I edit these. No, I'll leave that in because it's funny. This film is boring as shit. Oh my God. Megan Monroe puts me to sleep. Like, what is the point? She looks in the window. The guy looks at her. She closes it, looks at her. I saw something interesting would happen with the woman down the hall. Nope, nothing interesting happens there. And then, why are they running each other on the train? Like, was there a real point to that?
Just to give something that wasn't in the apartment or I don't know. This movie sucked. It was awful.
You're trying to figure out why Megan Monroe has no career. I'm like, you can't act. The woman down the hall gave a better performance. No, she's not good.
She was incredible in It Follows. I will say that.
Is Megan Monroe the lead in It Follows?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then she was good in It Follows. Now I don't remember that Corey Haim film was the wrong movie. That's why I don't remember it. This film is terrible. It's all shot on a low budget. None of these characters do anything. You're watching me. I'm watching you. Look at me. Look at you. And I'm like, I don't care. And I thought there was going to be a twist of some kind.
No twist.
A twist of something. Nope. Everything they introduced in the first 40 minutes is the same thing in the last 40 minutes. Nothing ever, ever, ever. I think Daniel's figured out the movie I watched. I watch you, you watch me. Maybe that's what he's talking about, but that's pretty much what they said. Scratch the Corey Haim film, people. That's the movie I started with the same name and realized I was watching the wrong movie and I had to go switch. These things happen when you watch too many movies at 12 o'clock at night when you start things.
Going from one book to another.
Yeah, sometimes I click the wrong movie. Now I remember why I don't remember that Corey Haim movie at all. I'm like, Corey Haim? What movie is this? How come I don't remember this? I didn't finish it. And I started it going, this is wrong. There's no Mika Monroe with this. That's Corey Haim. Sorry.
And we're on the same page now.
I did watch the right film. I just had to look. Oh, yeah, I remember it now. Told you. Sometimes I watch these a while ago, and I get confused easily.
It's all good.
I feel you.
No, you don't. You didn't watch anything.
No, I didn't. We're moving on to Riders of Justice.
Yes.
Directed by Anders Thomas Jensen, starring Mads Mikkelsen, Nicolas Likas, Andrea Hegg-Gadeberg, and Roland Mahler. I did watch this one.
Oh, that's go nice. You finally had time.
Yeah. I thought it was very funny at times. I thought Mads Mikkelsen was great. Just good violence and just a great story of just looking for revenge in a world that doesn't make sense sometimes. Just really looking for something to blame, even if there's nothing to blame. So I thought the whole idea and how the film like approaches coincidence and just the theory that they go with that, like, okay, yeah, this is definitely possible. And the whole facial recognition stuff, I thought that was just, I forget the guy's name, but the larger one who is supposed to be a child, like who gets caught in the child psychologist lie. I thought that whole bit was pretty funny. And in general, I thought like every character was pretty well developed too, just with their backstory.
Okay. I want to follow up on this. This movie is fantastic. I'm so pissed I didn't watch it when it came out. I had so much fun watching this film. This is what I've been looking for months of enjoyment. Absolutely had so much fun watching. I thought every character had a character arc. I love how the storyline developed. I love how Mads Mikkelsen's just a maniac on a mission. I love when he punches the boyfriend and almost knocks him out in the first 2 seconds of meeting him. I just love him. I love everything that happens in this film. This film works for me on every single level. I do have a slight problem with the ending because you kind of know what's going to happen. At the very end, I think it's kind of predictable, but it's okay with me. I was letting it go. I think my favorite scene is after they do something like, can we go home for some of that apple cake or whatever? And that's the whole discussion. And before that, when he punches the guy in the face and drops him off, the guy won't shut up and just run, clocks him. I'm like, I think I would do that. I really think that would be me. This film is brilliant. I think it, even though it has little subtitles, I think everybody should watch this. I think this is a film about anger management and coming to terms with your anger, and that's alone in the subtitles. And it's got some good food in it. And the characters are fun and fleshed out. And like Daniel's saying, they all have something to do, which is great. Even the daughter's not annoying. She seems like a real character. Like, she looks like somebody you would know as opposed to an actress. Oh, to go off topic on that, I was watching The Foreigner with Steven Seagal. Not recommended to anybody. It's a 0 out of 10. So my daughter walks in the room and goes, what's wrong? I'm like, look at this film. She's like, we're in like this seedy hotel that Steven Seagal is going into. They have like a perfect 10 behind the desk. I'm like, why is she in this movie? There's no way this woman would be here. She'd be at bottle service in some club. There's no way she's working this city hotel behind the desk. So that's what I'm getting at when casting your films, people. Please cast people that look like they should work there or look like they should be someone's daughter, as opposed to Mika Kelly trying to act, which is just annoying to me. Continue, Doug.
This is one we actually agree on. I had a lot of fun with this movie. One of the things I really loved about this movie is the twists. It zags when you expect it to zig. You so want to believe that the nerds got everything right, but they didn't. And I love that aspect of this movie. It was just a random occurrence that happened on the train. And so their whole mission, while I guess, good in a way. They're removing bad people from the planet. They were wrong to do so. They had nothing to do with the tragedy that happens in the beginning. Mads Mikkelsen is amazing in this movie. This is almost like a foreign Punisher film to me. He's just a man on a mission. He's single-minded. But that's why you have all the other characters around him to bring out his humanity. I think this movie is incredibly well written, well executed, and just a lot of fun. This is another one I would definitely recommend, like Simon said.
And I would just like to give a shout out to Roland Mahler, who plays the villain. Like, I just love this, like, the simplicity of him asking, like, what did you even do to you? And he just shoots him. It's like, I don't need to answer.
That was great. I love the villain in this. No nonsense villain. Yeah. He doesn't talk too much. He does what he's supposed to do, gets in, gets out. And I kind of like that occasionally. That's what villains should be like. They shouldn't just be sputing off like Bond villains. Bond villains are allowed because that's what they do. And usually I need to know somewhat idea of what's going on.
And the opposite of that, I love the good guys. That they spared the one guy who was a hostage, and he ended up just becoming part of the crew.
He was so good. And he can cook.
Yes. I love that.
He can make some crumble cookies.
Maybe. He probably could. Those things are amazing. That recipe gets leaked. I'm in.
Are you guys saying that this canceled out that spreadsheet for? Or are you saying this canceled out my choice of the Sea Beast? You got your 2 hours back.
No, not a chance.
No, this one canceled out Watcher for me.
Yeah, okay, I agree. This was much better watching Watcher, even though I started the Corey Haim film and realized I was watching the wrong movie.
No, that's why I might cancel out.
Doug's talking about the Watcher. I'm like, why am I not remembering what he's? Oh God, I'm thinking watching the Corey Haim film, and I'm thinking of something else. See, I got to go back to finish that Corey Haim film now. I've reminded myself. So, when are we going to have a slumber party?
When COVID's over.
COVID's over, buddy. Just ask all of America. COVID's over.
Yes.
Daniel?
Sorry, I'm froze. You guys bring the slumber, I'll bring the massacre. But it is directed by Amy Holden Jones. I didn't really see
it. I'm a little confused by the massacre. Are you saying you're going to like go to Popeye's and eat like a spicy chicken sandwich and then come and use my bathroom to massacre it?
Oh my God.
I'm just trying to figure out where the massacre was coming from because I'm disturbed.
No, I feel like I'd rather be psychopathic than destroy your bathroom.
I don't think you could be psychopathic.
No, I mean, you wouldn't want to. I mean, you've seen me angry, but I don't like it. So, yes. I'd be probably more likely to destroy your bathroom. Yes.
Great. Make sure the intern's not in there first.
Well, sure.
Oh, no. That's massacre.
Double massacre. Slumber massacre, too.
COVID's back on.
Who wanted to start on that one?
We want to know who's in it. Would be nice.
Oh, nobody. I didn't really even write down the cast list.
Wow, quality directing there, Dano. I will start. Thank you. I love these kind of slasher movies. These are right up my alley. I don't know what's going on in this film. It literally makes no sense. This villain's a joke. Literally, his means of execution, I find, are a little subpar and probably easily escapable most of the time. He just does it because he's bored. I really just got that impression that he had nothing else to do this week. I guess he had no telephone poles to fix or whatever his real job is. Is he a telephone repairman on the side of the truck? I think I feel bad because, I mean, this film does try to introduce characters and spend time on characters and actually have a plot. But the problem is it's choppy, really, really choppy all the time. And we really don't get a motivation for the killer other than he likes to kill people, which doesn't really help me getting either way, because I don't find any of these people overall interesting, even though they try. I'm not saying they don't try to give me a plot and give me depth. They do try to give that. It does nothing for me. I find all these girls look the same. They all talk the same. They all do pretty much the same things. I mean, the boys were kind of interesting when they showed up. I thought that was a little more dramatic because boys would do that. So everything in here pretty much made sense, but it just wasn't interesting to me.
Yeah, I think where my interest lies in this movie is the fact that it was written and directed by a female.
Oh, okay.
And you don't really find that a lot in the slasher genre. So the fact that this wasn't shown from the male gaze, I think that kind of sets it apart. It's still very TNA heavy. It's a slasher film. It is what it is. But if you're looking for something a little different from the normal genre, I think the fact that a woman wrote and directed this kind of sets it apart a bit.
My question is, Doug, for you, how many bodies can you fit in a trunk?
Depending on the truck, yeah, at least six.
Well, he was busy, man. He was stacking them in there. I was like, how many can you fit in that truck, buddy?
That's the best part.
I think that's the best part because I'm sitting there going, how many people are in there? One, two, and I've started counting them. I'm like, that's a pretty big truck. And those weren't, I didn't think they were dummies. I really think the actors actually got in the trunk there. I'm like, well, that's some pretty good work. I didn't know a woman directed this.
Yes. I will be honest, it's been a few years since I've seen this, but he had a drill, right? The killer used a drill.
Yeah, but it was easily escapable as far as I was concerned. It's sort of like, oh my God! I'm like, really?
He still managed to get a few people.
He was very good. He was proficient with that drill. So I think he used it to take like telephone poles everywhere. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It never ran out of gas either. It was pretty impressive that he had a gas drill. Just
hung against the door, was like waited for him.
Listen. Yeah, the one that hiding out in the school should have escaped.
That's think true.
I just wanted some motivation. That's what I wanted, motivation for the killer. Like, I think a film that's kind of similar to this is Graduation Day, which I love. I think it's a really strong recommend for you guys to see Graduation Day, which I know you guys haven't, but that's an 80s slasher I love. Since you guys know I love the 80s, I see every 80s movie that I can find. Daniel? Halloween's coming up, like not really coming up, but kind of like 8 weeks. Are you going as Frankenstein? Hey, that was silence. Okay, I'm going to have to do some editing here. Simon, can you be my voice? Agree, movie is crap, and him having no mask is a weird choice. Okay, I guess that's it. I guess we're moving on to Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, starring Abbott and Costello,
Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr.,
and the guy that played Frankenstein. It's kind of weird. Because Boris Karloff did the press for this, even though he's not Frankenstein. And the guy that played Frankenstein's played the Mummy, Dracula, and Frankenstein. I can't remember his name. And that's pretty much it.
Glenn Strange.
There you go. That's the guy. So I want to start off. I'm a huge Abbott Costello fan. I think I've pretty much seen, I will double check if I can hold myself to this, but pretty much every Abbott Costello film that I've seen. I've seen all their stuff. I think this film is still brilliant. I've seen it probably just my second or third time seeing it. I know I always say I don't rewatch movies, but if you guys put it on the list, I will watch movies again, like Summer Party Massacre. I love this film. I think the comedy works on every level all the time for this. I think you got to kind of let things go at times, but you got to let Abbott Costello be Abbott Costello. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I forgot the werewolf guy. I forgot him. Lon Chaney Jr. I mean, that scene in the hotel, like even when they're first bringing in the coffin, we know it's Frankenstein. We know it's Dracula, but they go there to the museum. Those jokes work for me still to this day. All that banter works. The banter in the train station works. The banter in the museum works. That whole cell scene chasing around with the werewolf, fantastic. When he's stealing the orange, I think it's an orange or an apple, and he spends seconds thinking about it. Maybe. That was awesome. Like, you don't see that comedy nowadays. That stands up. The chase scenes all work. I think it has a little bit of problems in the transitions. When they first go to Dracula's castle, I think that's a little bit of a mess. That could have been worked out a little bit further. But I like the party scene where they're all chasing him around again. And I think everything works for me. And the end of the film, I think it's one of the most brilliant endings of all times. When Vincent Price does the voice narration of a character. So for me, this film is great. I have nothing to say other than I love them. I have so much fun watching Abbott Costello. You guys can put all the Abbott Costello movies on the list, and I'll probably love them all. So that's all I got to say about this. It's fantastic. Please watch it. I think the makeup's good. Bela Lugosi is still the best Dracula for me. Lon Chaney Jr. does a wonderful job. And Glenn Strange, I think, does a pretty good Frankenstein. I mean, obviously, I think there's some weak casting in the female lead scientist isn't the greatest. But who cares? She's got to have a Costello. I don't need her to be good. She's just got to show up and speak her lines, which she does okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with Simon again. This is amazing.
Are you okay, Doug? Should we embrace?
Yes, let's. But yeah, I've seen this movie maybe 10, 20 times in my life. I love Abbott Costello. The one thing I love about this movie, aside from the humor, the monsters themselves are taken very seriously. The monsters themselves are not played for jokes. And that's what kind of sets this movie apart. Abbott and Costello, they carry all the comedy, but the monsters, they're frightening. They're played straight, and that's amazing to me. I absolutely love this movie. I can't say enough how great this is.
How many Abbott Costello movies have you seen, Doug? All of them? I think I've got to be close.
I think there's maybe one or two I haven't seen, but yeah, I've seen most. I think my favorite is probably now I'm forgetting the name of the movie. The one where they're in a radio station. Whodunit? I love that one.
I must have seen it. I've probably forgotten. I used to watch these as a kid all the time. And like Stooges movies, I think I've seen them all. But who knows? I've never really done a I've seen it. Like, I probably will visit Abbott Costello again because I probably don't remember a lot of them. Daniel, did you watch this one? That's a no. I presume nobody else watched it, so we're moving on.
I've seen it many times.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I did not rewatch it recently, but I love these movies. They're great. And I love the fact that it's all the classic Universal monsters except for Boris Karloff.
He didn't want to do it. That's why he didn't come back. He was invited.
Yeah. He just thought it was too campy or something.
But he still did the publicity tour for it, which I think is hysterical.
Well, he also eventually did Abbott Costello meet the killer Boris Karloff.
Yep. Yeah, I was looking to see if there was a reason why he backed out, but I couldn't.
He didn't want to do it. That's all I read. Okay. Anybody buy anything this week besides myself?
I'm not buying anything.
Okay. Well, I will continue on with Finds at the Dollar Tree. So I thought about Doug when I picked this one up. It's called Journey to West, Conquering the Demons. I bought it because it had some Stephen Chow, the director of Kung Fu Hustle. So nice. I figured I'd give this a shot. And I picked this one up called Broken Swords. I just like the cover. I really have nothing else. I just thought it had a cool cover. I know nothing about this, so I picked it up. And the last movie, I did think of Doug again. I thought Doug might have a copy, called The Night Shifter. And it said a Shudder exclusive. So I figure when I'm done, I'm going to put this in the Doug pile of movies I need to mail him and send it down to Doug, because I think Doug needs this for his shelf.
Probably, yes.
And this looks like a Doug movie. So all I got to say is, people, I love this Dollar Tree thing. For $1.25, I don't think I got, like, gems, but I think I found some decent things, hopefully, to watch. And I don't even know if we have Shudder in Canada. If we do, I don't know if we do. But for $1.25, because I have to go to Walmart, yeah, they have $5 movies. We don't have Shudder?
We do.
Oh, we do. Okay. But if my only other option to get cheap movies is Walmart for $5. I don't want to pay $5 when I can get them for $1.25 US, which is what, $1.60 Canadian? So, I don't know. I figure it's a shot. Or hopefully my local Salvation Army, whenever I go over there, they have movies for a dollar. But they don't have a huge selection of movies for a dollar. So, it's getting late. I apologize. I got to work tomorrow. Doug has to work tomorrow. Kevin needs to sleep. And Daniel needs to check out on aisle 10, cashier 10, right, Daniel, with the sign, screen. Am I correct? You're just going to bug me about this later anyway. If they make it.
We'll agree on it.
I can help you over here.
There you go. Good night, all.